Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to consider this evening verse 26. Before we do, let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, we thank you this evening for this precious time to be able to come together and to read your word and to hear that which the Spirit of God has recorded concerning the glory of our Lord and Savior. I ask you, Lord, to bless the word. Bless it to the honor of Christ and salvation, comfort of your people. For it's in the name of our Lord we ask these things. Amen. Moses, a chosen vessel of God, raised up for the express purpose of leading God's people, children of Israel, the Hebrews, out of Egypt, was providentially preserved from a child. His mom and daddy, when Moses was born, the scripture says by faith, they hid him for 3 months. And when they could no longer hide him, his mama took and made an ark, made a box, and she put that baby in that ark, pitched it, made it waterproof, and put him in it, went out and put him in the river. It's an amazing thing, but there's only two places where an ark, and not the Ark of the Covenant, but I'm talking about the ark like Noah's ark, a boat, a box. There are only two places that an ark is recorded in all of Scripture. Noah's ark, and this one right here. And here we see the glorious type, picture of preservation of this young baby, Moses, raised up. And the scripture says, and we looked at this last time, that when he was, verse 24, 25, when he was come to years, he was 40 years old. And as we considered last time, I know that by faith, verse 24 says, by faith. And faith is always based on God's Word. Faith believes God. By faith, we believe God. I don't know. I said last time, I know that Moses' mama had him for a while. After Pharaoh's daughter found him, by the providence of God, there was Moses' sister. She was watching to see what's going to happen. And soon as that baby was found by Pharaoh's daughter, Moses' sister came up and offered, you like me to go back and find a Hebrew woman to nurse that baby for you? She said, I would. I'd like for you to do that. And so she said, you take this baby and you get this baby, nurse this baby. I'll pay you and I'll take care of the expenses and everything. When you're done, you bring the baby back to me. That's what happened. And Moses was raised up in the house of Pharaoh's daughter. He was schooled in the ways of Egypt. He was a master in speaking. Amazing thought whenever the Lord called him to go back into Egypt. Moses said, I'm slow of speech. The ability to be able to think and articulate words. But he said while he was in Egypt, he was a good speaker. But whenever God calls a man, calls a woman, they're brought down in their own eyes. And the Scripture says that Moses raised up with the best, the finest of everything in that empire in Egypt. And here, he's 40 years old. And the Scripture sets forth, verse 24, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He came, visited with his brethren. He knew he was a Hebrew. He knew. And he saw an Egyptian that was beating one of the Hebrews. And he killed him. Killed that Egyptian. He cast away by faith the idols of Egypt and set his affection by the grace of God on things above. Relinquished that position that he had in the court of royalty, and he chose in his heart, he had a desire made willing in the day of God's power when God Almighty moved upon that man, gave him faith to believe. That man chose by a new heart to have fellowship and suffering with the despised people of God. Moses right there is a beautiful picture of our Savior. Here he, royalty, and chose to be with God's people suffering. Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Our blessed Savior descended from heaven. God Almighty and humbled himself. Born of a woman, the Spirit of God moved upon a virgin, a human being, and caused conception to take place in the womb of that virgin. And Almighty God, God Almighty, went through 9 months united with flesh. God-man, the Christ, 9 months grew in the womb of that woman and was born just like all those that he came to redeem. Humble himself. Took upon himself the form of a servant. Humbled himself to God's will, God's purpose. That's a miracle of God's grace. But I'll tell you another miracle of God's grace concerning God's people. That they would esteem, verse 26, the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Man by nature does not want to deny self. It's all about me. Denying self, esteeming the reproach of Christ to be greater riches than whatever this world has got to offer, that takes a new heart. By nature, man is going to be for man, number one. And it is a miracle that a sinner, regenerated by the grace of God, would throw his lot. This is what I want to do. Into that which this world despises. But let me ask you this. Is that not what you that believe? Is that not what you want? What would you be willing to let take place of being in a place where God Almighty is honored? What would you esteem greater riches than the hearing of the gospel of God's grace? And being where the Lord has been pleased to bless for all of these years, what would you give up? What would you take instead of that? Nothing. No. I know that our flesh wars against the spirit of our new man. I know that. But by the grace of God, we're kept by the power of God. Moses chose to suffer. That's what the Scripture says. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, greater riches. He killed that Egyptian. And I'm telling you, the moment he killed that Egyptian, he cut himself off. He cut himself off to everything that he could have had, and he did it willingly. The Lord's people are willing in the day of God's power, not before. Moses desired to be where God was honored. Chose to suffer affliction with the Hebrews. And here's the reason. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He looked past what was obvious to his natural eyes. He sought God's kingdom first. Now, there's always going to be affliction when we're aligned with God's people. In this world, the Lord has promised you're going to suffer persecution. They that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's promised. But great is thy reward in heaven. I know right now the people of God suffer in this life, ridiculed. But I know that though we see through a glass darkly, we see the reward that Almighty God has promised. We have His Word on that. When I read of John 17:24, I've reading this the other day again, and the Lord praying in that high priestly prayer, when He was praying, He said, Father, John 17:24, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now I know, I can't grasp hold of the depth, the fullness. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. I can't enter in. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared for them that love Him. Last last weekend when we were in Lexington for the well, the Bible conference. We were there just one night, last Friday night, and then one preacher school the next morning. And Neil and I stayed in the home. Very, very gracious people. Very gracious people. And they have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful home. And I started looking around. It was a very, very nice house. And I looked around and I thought, but this is a very, very comfortable, very nice home. But as I looked around at all of the pleasant things about home, this entered my mind. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared. I thought all of these things that this world has to offer are nothing. Nothing. That which our Lord has prepared for those that love Him. I know that in this world we suffer persecution. And I know that it's a light affliction because our Lord has told us that it's a light affliction. No matter what, no matter what we go through, Almighty God is going to teach His people. This world is not your home. This is not your rest. You're just a sojourner here. You're traveling through. And we're going to be weaned from this world. But now we come to the reason for verse 24 and 25. We come to the reason that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The reason he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And the reason, remember, that the pleasures of sin for a season, if you remember last week, I said that Joseph stayed and died in Egypt. Joseph died there. Stayed right there. That's where God kept him. Moses didn't stay there. What was the difference? Well, the Lord purposed that Joseph would stay there, provide for God's people. He purposed for Moses to leave, bring the people of God out, lead them out, the means by which. The pleasures of sin for a season is anything that is contrary to God's will for you. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. You say, well, how will I know? You'll know. You'll know. You'll know. It may be that Almighty God teaches you through His Word. It may be that the Spirit of God impresses you. But you'll know. He chose rather to suffer affliction with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Is it for a season? For a season. Think back. Those of you who, like me, humanly speaking, I know what Scripture says. 70, and if 80, it's just some a little more, some a little less. But as a general rule, you know this, that we're all coming to a point to where, unless the Lord returns, our time here is not long. You know that. Just a season. And how quickly you look back. How quickly this has all been over. This is so fast. Rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for just a little while, by the grace of God, He chose to be numbered with God's people. What a privilege that Almighty God would give a man, a woman, the desire, the will, the want to be with the Lord's people and stay there. Why are you still here? But for the grace of God. That's the only reason that you stayed. Because God kept you. I told you back in 83, I think it was 83. I was in Franklin, Tennessee, and Brother Walter Groover was there. We were sitting out on the back porch. And we was just talking. And I asked him, I said, Walter had been it was in construction of some kind there in Texas. And I asked him, I said, what would come to a man's mind? How do you know? He'd gone, hadn't been in Mexico that long. He'd been there now, I think, 45 years. But in 83, he hadn't been there a real long time. I said, Walter, how do you know that you were to go and leave Texas and go down to Mexico, go down into this place? Betty was sick, got sick down there. Walter's picked up, and he still has a parasite of some kind. It's got to be treated and stuff like that. Children, you know, going down in Mexico, just hard times. I mean, it's not, you know, the best. You know, Merida's great, but outside of Merida, it's still not, you know, real modernized or anything like that. What would cause a man to do it? He told me, he said, Marvin, when something becomes more important to you than what you're doing, he said, you'll do it. When something is more important to you, that Almighty God would give a man, a woman, a heart, by grace, to not consider this fleeting world, to not consider that to be more important than being with the people of God, staying where God blesses, where God teaches, where God's raised up a preacher. Moses considered what the world called disgrace and shame, discredit. Moses considered being numbered with God's people and suffering whatever the Lord providentially brought them through to be worth more. That was worth more. I'd rather be with God's people, laughed at by the world, ridiculed, scorned. I'd rather be with God's people than to have all that this world has got to offer. But the only reason that I would have a heart for that is because the Lord would graciously give me a new heart for it. Outside of that, I've got this attitude. Well, we only go around once. Let's just go for all the gusto we can. I mean, let's eat, drink. Tomorrow we die. This world is fleeting. And by grace alone, the believer esteems the reproach of Christ, or for Christ, greater riches than the treasures of this world. But those that do esteem reproach for His sake to be the greatest riches do it and have this end in sight by faith. They see by faith. They had, as Moses, respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, that's a statement there, and this is what it means. There is recompense, you know, to pay for, to, you know. There is a payment, but it's not a payment according to debt because of our faithfulness. It's not because that we've done something that Almighty God is going to pay or give or reward. This payment is all of grace. It's not by anything that we've done. If Almighty God gives us anything, it's totally by His grace. It's totally because He chose to. He said, I'll have mercy. Upon whom I'll have mercy, I'll have compassion. Upon whom I'll have compassion. And the Spirit of God, through the Apostle Paul, says, so then, it's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. But it's God who shows mercy. Moses, just like all believers, knew that communion with Almighty God and peace with God and fellowship with God, there's the riches. There's the reward. Almighty God has placed within the heart of His people tonight a thankfulness. Lord, thank You. Thank You that You'd give me a heart that desires to be thank You. Lord, in the strugglings that I go through, and the Lord knows the struggles that all of His people have. Struggles without, yes, but especially the struggles within. Is there really struggles on the outside that compare to what you struggle with on the inside? Really? I mean, don't you hate the way that we are by nature? I mean, seriously. I told you before, it embarrasses me when we pray. I heard Brother Don Fortner say this the other night. He was talking about prayer. And he said, you know, and it's sad, he said, this is just the way it is. He said, by and large, when we pray, it's all about us. I got to thinking on that. I thought, you know, that's so true. That statement came back to my mind this morning, and I thought, I want to go back and read. I read John 17, our Lord's high priestly prayer. I thought, I just want to read how our Lord prayed. The struggles that we have within. How thankful I am that Almighty God has promised, by grace, reward. Reward. Because He's chosen to. Almighty God gave Moses a heart to behold true riches, eternal riches, by faith, the substance of things that were hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen, riches in Christ that never perish. Greater than anything this world offers. Think of the trivial thing. Trivial. Nothing. Nothing. What this world offers instead of worship of Almighty God. Little fleeting nothing. Trinkets. Trinkets. I like going to these game places where you get tickets. I mean, just get tickets and tickets and tickets. Tickets. Boy, look at all these tickets. Brought my grandkids one time to this place, and man, they just had a handful of tickets. And went in to trade those things, and I'm thinking, I look at that, and those little plastic pieces of junk. You think, this is all I get? This is all I get for what I thought was riches. Look at those tickets. He had respect unto. I looked that up. He had respect unto. You know what it means? It means he looked away from. To look away from the treasures of Egypt, the treasures of this world, the promises of nothing, empty promises. Empty promises. Liar. This world. A liar. He had respect unto He looked away from everything else and looked unto the recompense of the war. Oh, the compensation. That's the words. When you look these words up, the reward, the recompense of the reward, the compensation that Almighty gives His people for the sake of His precious Son. Not given in according to what I've done or could do. The reward of God's sheep is owing totally to God's will, God's purpose, God's goodness, God's grace. And oh, what a reward it is. One day we'll know. I know we know now. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I can't even enter into what that is. I know it's joy unspeakable. One day, I think about that passage that I considered here the other day. When the Queen of Sheba came, she said, I heard all about this. I came to, talk to you, prove you. But she said, the half of it wasn't told me. Now, I've never even entered into the half of it, of what God has prepared for those. The reward for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ to be eternally with Him, to behold His glory. Father, I will that those that You've given me out of this world, that they be with me, that they may behold my glory. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, give me a heart that longs after You. Keep me, Lord, to be seated with You. To be seated with Him. His bride. His bride that He's everlastingly loved. That He redeemed by His precious blood. Robes in His precious righteousness and presents before God Almighty's throne, Father, I and the children that You've given me. Oh, one day, Moses, as all God's people, they know. That their reward is a reward of sovereign grace. Lord, let this not be just words. Lord, let this gospel come to me, not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Lord, may I see You by faith. Lord, one day by sight. And actually hear You say unto me, being found in Him, well done. Well done. I know the only well done that I'll have attributed to me is that it's His righteousness imputed to me. I know that. God's people, they have respect unto. They believe that they're going to possess just exactly what God Almighty has promised. The saints of God, back in the Old Testament, just like we do today, they look forward to His first coming and second coming. He's come already. He's already come. And now we look for His second coming. And we look for it at any moment. Whether He comes, whether we hear the trump of God and it's all over. Before you even knew what happened, we were standing before God at the great white throne judgment. The trump of God sounded. The dead in Christ rose, and those that are alive on this earth meet them in the air. We believe Him. We believe that when he comes back, whether he comes back at the second coming while we're still here, or whether he comes back for us in death and calls us to himself, we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Time is short. Time is short. You say, I don't know about that. The believer dies daily. He dies daily. Live every day as it is your last. Because one of these days it's going to be. He esteemed being with God's people. Greater reward than the treasures that this world had to offer. Lord, keep me by your grace. For Christ's sake.